Good afternoon. Welcome to Macicia's second quarter's earnings conference call. Today's call will be hosted by Mr. Eugenio Ezquerra, Macicia's CFO. Please, if you have any questions, hold them until the end of the conference call. We will have enough time to answer all your doubts.
Good day to everyone. Today's presentation, as usual, will start with a section on highlights of the second quarter of the year and recent events that have been announced to the market. Then we're going to move to an overview of the outlook and results of the main markets where we have operations. The third section is going to be a review of results compared against the second quarter of the prior year, and a few comments on the drivers of the changes in results. Finally, as usual, we're going to go over the financial profile and financial indicators, and then we're going to end with some closing remarks. The first item to touch bases in this call is regarding the application of the SIMADI foreign exchange rate for our operations in Venezuela. Instead of applying the SICAD foreign exchange rate in that operation, the decision was made by the board recently, based on the evolution of the different exchange rate markets in Venezuela. As known, there are three official foreign exchange markets in Venezuela. One is CENCOEX at 6.3. The other is SICAD at approximately 12.8 by the close of the second quarter, currently at 13.5. And the third is SIMADI at 187. Approximately by the close of the second quarter. The three systems are legally official foreign exchange systems, and the company has determined that for purposes of its financial statements, the one that represents better the reality of the foreign exchange system in that market is SIMADI. This is despite rights, legal rights that Macicia holds in terms of having access to different foreign exchange systems and mechanisms for purposes of handling its own foreign investment in Venezuela, which follow different criteria and rights. But for purposes of the financial statements, a decision was made to apply SIMADI instead of SICAD. One important element to understand in that application and change of the foreign exchange system compared to what was communicated to the market for the first quarter of the year when we applied SICAD is that following the international accounting standards, and given that Venezuela is a hyperinflationary environment, what needs to be done in the books of the company is first to adjust for monetary correction, for inflation, all of the Venezuelan denominated results and accounts, and then translate all of those numbers and figures using the SIMADI foreign exchange system. The consequence of this implementation of procedure is that the second quarter figures and results of a company are affected by correcting the foreign exchange of the whole first semester, including first quarter and second quarter, but with all of the effect recorded in the second quarter of the year. The effects of applying SIMADI instead of SICAD for the first semester of 2015 where first in terms of consolidated sales, a drop of $248.9 million. Gross profit increased by $59.5 million. In terms of EBITDA, it fell by $24.7 million. And in terms of the bottom line, in net income terms, it was a $3.4 million decrease. Now, in terms of the balance sheet, total assets decreased by $484.3 million, and net equity took by $230.1 million. That is the effect in the first semester of 2015 of applying CIMARI instead of CCAT rate. As a result of these changes, Venezuela represented only 3.3% of consolidated EBITDA for the first semester of 2015. And considering only recurring EBITDA, it represented 4.3%. It is important to note that after applying all of these changes, FACISA, by the end of the second quarter, complied with all of its financial covenants. Also very important to note that even after applying these changes, the company presented first semester net income of $19.2 million, which compares very favorably against a net loss of $12.1 million booked in the first semester of 2014. In the following page number 3, it is also important to highlight a better operational performance compared to the first half of 2014 and the second quarter of 2014. One key initiative that had been communicated before is a cost and expense saving program that facilitated generating an increase in EBITDA margin by 2.9% points in the second quarter when we exclude Venezuela from the analysis because of the change that was applied in that market. One of the markets that is most important in terms of cash flow generation for the company is Chile and its Andean region, because from Chile we serve the markets of Peru, Ecuador, Colombia, Bolivia, and many others, which we call the Andean region. That area, that geographic area, had presented stable EBITDA generation in the second quarter. This was supported by good performance of the export business, and mainly to the U.S. And in the first semester, considered as a whole, that area was 16% above the first half of 2014. One of the markets where we are improving results is Mexico. Its EBITDA increased by 0% in the second quarter and reached 9.2% of Macisa's consolidated EBITDA in the first semester of 2015. So Mexico is increasing its relative importance in the context of the business as a result of the investments made in prior years. Brazil, on its turn, was able to present better performance despite a significant market slowdown and another significant devaluation of the real. And this is based in a decrease of costs and expenses and also a low comparison basis due to a plant shutdown in 2014. In the second quarter of 2014, we shut down the Montenegro plant for about a month to make investments to increase its effective capacity. Now, considering the first semester as a whole, results in Brazil remain stable. Argentina also presented an improvement both in the second quarter and also in the first half of the year, and this this is partly because of a demand growth, improved product mix, and also cost and expense savings in that market. The effects of all of these improvements in the operational results are reflected in recurring EBITDA on a net Venezuela basis, growing by 26% versus 2014. And in the first semester, considered the two quarters, in the second quarter, the growth was 15%. So this is very important in the context and the trends that we're observing in the markets, and is based on the proactive management of our operations and the initiatives taken in the cost and expense saving programs. The following page number 4, presents comparison of recurring EBITDA, for which we are starting for both periods in second quarter 2014 and second quarter 2015, we're starting with reported EBITDA. First in 2014, reported EBITDA in the second quarter was $183.1 million, which included a forestry sale in Chile. Most importantly, this is the association with Hancock for forests in Chile, and a small transaction in Brazil, $146.1 million of forestry non-recurring EBITDA. And Venezuela, in that period, presented an $8.1 million EBITDA. So on a next Venezuela basis and on a recurring basis, its second quarter EBITDA in 2014 was $28.9 million. Same type of analysis is presented in the graph below, which is the EBITDA breakdown for 2015, in the second quarter. Starting with reported EBITDA, $43.2 million, that includes a forestry transaction, standing timber or stampage timber transaction in Chile, completed in the second quarter for $23 million. Venezuela at Simari, separating the effect of what corresponds to the second quarter and what corresponds to the first quarter, the second quarter reported EBITDA at Simari in Venezuela is $1.5 million. Now, in the second quarter, but actually converting or adjusting the first quarter results of Venezuela, includes a $17.8 million impact. Adding that to the number, then we get to second quarter 2015 EBITDA on a recurring basis and on an ex-Venezuela basis, equivalent to $36.5 million. And this is what we presented in the prior page of an increase of 26% when we clean up the numbers and make an apples-to-apples comparison in that. And this is, again, the result of proactive management of our operations, a very aggressive cost and expense reduction program, and also improvement in some of the operations as presented before. One recent announcement to the market in page number 5 is an asset sale plan that's oriented to strengthen the company's financial profile. This is another initiative taken by management to offset and be able to mitigate the economic slowdown trends in the main markets where we operate in Latin America, which we're very conscious of, and we're seeing the realities in such markets with growth rates being reviewed downwards in general. Now, this program is supplementary to the cost and expense reduction plan that was initiated in mid-2014. And it's already in place. We've completed a couple of transactions already. It's composed of a plan that should produce in excess of $100 million it's a portfolio of, I would say, less strategic assets or non-strategic assets that is expected to be completed by the end of the first quarter in 2016. The proceeds of the asset sale program will be used to reduce finance debt. And it's important to note that although we're not prepared at this stage to communicate the specific assets that we are planning to sell, the whole portfolio of assets that we have contemplated in this program is in excess of $100 million. It's approximately between $135 and $140 million. But we expect to complete at least $100 million of those sales. The following section, it's markets and operating performance. In page number 6, we start with Brazil. As well known, Brazil is continuously reviewing its GDP projections downward. This rate here is our recent Latin-focused consensus forecast. However, the authorities and economists in Brazil are still reviewing this to the negative side, and we expect board consumption this year to be marginally negative, although we're presenting an estimate for 2015 of 2.3. It's going to be by the 0 or minus 1%, affecting mostly in the case of MDP. MDF has proven to be more defensive and has either been zero or slightly negative so far this year. We predict that to continue being the case. MDP has shown significant decreases between 8 to 9% decrease this year compared to last year. In terms of other indicators, or all macroeconomic indicators are negative, as everybody understands and reads every day. We've been able, despite this environment, to place additional volumes in the markets, especially in the second quarter, but also in the first half of the year, we've been able to increase our volumes by 25%. This is notably, but it's partly because of a shutdown that I shared before, that I described before, in the Montenegro plant in the second quarter of 2014, but demonstrates Macisa's ability to complete sales and to sell to the market all the capacity that we're producing in both factories, in the Paraná and the Rio Grande do Sul factories. However, because of increased MDP sales, despite the negative environment, the EBITDA grew by almost 16% in the second quarter compared to the second quarter of 2014. And also, this is further supported by lower costs because of implementing initiatives in terms of management restructuring. We did a significant SG&A restructuring program in Brazil, and we're receiving the benefits of that program starting in the first semester of this year. Board volumes were up, but sales revenue was down 8.5% because of the real devaluation, which was significant in the period. And our continuous focus is to be able to continue to sell all of the production of our facilities, and also continuous focus in cost and expense reductions, because we do not foresee that the economic cycle in this market will improve in the next couple of years. So we expect to be facing a relatively depressed market in the case of Brazil. Second market in page number 7 is Mexico. Mexico also has been a bit disappointing in terms of the growth rates. Our last estimate here is 2.6. We still believe that this is going to be up and above 2% growth for the year. And both consumption will be roughly growing by 4% in a year. This is good because in Mexico the opportunity is relevant in terms of substituting demand of solid wood and plywood with MDP and MDF, and we've been observing that trend. There's a lot of potential of per capita consumption growth in Mexico in terms of our ports, and we're seeing this type of growth coming in the market, which has been further supported by the improvement of export businesses that are producing finished goods and or intermediate goods oriented to the U.S. market. So generally, the fundamental factors in Mexico are positive, and we've been able to place approximately 5% more cubic meters of boards in that market, mostly in the case of MDF, as a result of which, combined with the cost and expense reductions, we've been able to produce 50% more EBITDA in the second quarter of this year compared to the second quarter of 2014. Sales were up in terms of volumes, but in terms of revenue were down because of the foreign exchange devaluation, which has been the norm in all of our markets in Latin America, as all of the currencies have devaluated this year compared to the prior year. One good news to communicate is that we are progressing very, very well in the construction of the MDF plant in Durango. It is currently at 85% progress, physically speaking, not financially speaking, and we've been able to prioritize the capital expenditure associated with this project, and we've been able to reduce total capex to start the operations in this plant from $132 to $124 million. Given the level of progress we have in the project, we are reasonably confident to be able to implement this reduction towards the start of the production of this project. The initial phase of the commissioning of the project will be the end of the first quarter. We expect to start commercializing product by the second quarter, sometime in the second quarter of 2016. The EBITDA contribution of this project continues to be approximately $5 million in 2016, with some upside if we're able to meet the deadlines and the timelines that we have set. $27 million in addition to today's EBITDA, to the present EBITDA in 2017, and $30 million in addition to the present EBITDA in 2018, when we expect the plant to reach full capacity. Our focus in this market is to maintain our market position, which is a leading position in the case of a particle board business and one relevant position in MDF terms, which we expect to further strengthen with the MDF project when we start production. And also ensure cost and expense efficiency, which is something we're doing across all of the markets in the region. The following page is a nice picture of the forming line of the land, which is already in place. It's the all of the forming process before the product gets to the press. The picture in page 9 is the press in that's already in place, already in its foundations. And finally, the third picture is the finalizing and sanding lines, all of the finishing and sanding lines of the plant. The following market is Argentina, on page 11. The case of Argentina is curious. We've been improving our projections for this market throughout the year. First, we were in a recessionary environment in the first part of the year. However, projections the growth will be between 0.7 to 1% in the year. The general situation in terms of consumption has been improving, and therefore we've been able to complete or increase our volumes in the market by 3.2%, and also state revenue has been improving in terms of product mix and sales in dollar terms. As a result of this, our EBITDA from Argentina grew by 23.8%. And which is a favorable environment, and our focus in Argentina is increasing our exports, which will be probably supported efficiently whenever the foreign exchange in Argentina is allowed to devalue. We expect that the necessary adjustment when the currency devalues in Argentina is will probably improve the mix of exports in the compensating and offsetting the decrease of demand that we may see in the domestic market in Argentina. That, historically, after our 20-year experience in that market, has been the way our Argentina operation reacts and offsets the effects of the different cycles and devaluations in Argentina. We continue to focus, to pay a lot of attention in being capable of distributing dividends from Argentina. So far, Macija in many years have been continuously distributing dividends. That has been the case this year also. We continue to be focused in trying to get access to the official exchange rate, but whenever that's not possible, we also, to a limited extent, have access to the other markets for dividend repatriation. In the case of Chile, page number 12, here we're going to refer to Chile and also the rest of the markets of the Andean region. There's been generally a downward trend in most of the markets that are served from our operations in Chile, except for the United States, which has been in the positive area, and demand of exports from Chile to the United States and also from Argentina have been growing significantly and improving in terms of profitability because of the foreign exchange devaluation, and that has made the margins to become more attractive in terms of export business. But the domestic markets have been underperforming a bit, and board demand, board consumption in the case of Chile is projected to be negative 2.3% this year, despite the relatively stable conditions of the construction sector in Chile because of the VAT condition associated with the tax reform that was passed last year. The sales of houses in Chile, homes in Chile, has been reasonably stable, but has been very positive in housing starts in the USA. So generally, what we are observing in this area, in this Andean region, is exports have been very, very good, showing very good performance, and the domestic markets have been a bit resilient, but generally adjusting downward in terms of volumes and profitability because of foreign exchange movements affecting domestic market performance. Now, in terms of VTA, this market presents a 75% drop, but that is considering the forestry asset sale last year, which was a non-recurring transaction. When considering recurring EBITDA only, the second quarter was stable compared to the second quarter of 2014. And, as previously mentioned, 16% up compared to the first semester of 2014. And volumes were up in the second quarter, 3.2% in total terms. Now, the focus in this area is to maintain and increase export businesses and be able to find other niche opportunities in the North American market. Page number 13 presents Venezuela. Venezuela, as already discussed, Venezuela figures were significantly affected by the change of the foreign exchange from SICAD to SIMADI. That meant that the VTA in Venezuela fell by 24 million dollars in the second quarter compared to the second quarter of prior year. And revenue was down by 194%, 11% lower in terms of volumes. And this is the domestic market performance, since Venezuela is having a very significant recession. Approximately 7% drop in GDP is forecasted by some economists, although we're including this page our Latin consensus forecast figure of three negative. The focus in Venezuela continues to maintain the continuity of operations by maintaining a level of exports which has already been achieved. We're exporting on a monthly basis approximately 8,000 cubic meters of products from Venezuela, which gives Venezuela operations sufficient access to dollars, because 60% of the export proceeds can be retained offshore to be used for spare parts and raw materials that are needed to maintain the operation in that market. We expect to be able to maintain production levels and our product mix to maintain the level of profitability in Bolivar terms, and have a very strict control of costs to increase profitability. This despite the fact that figures in Venezuela, as positioned before in the presentation, represented only 3.3% of the generation on a consolidated basis because of the application of CIMADI instead of CICAD. The following section, which starts in page 14, presents some highlights of the financial figures on a consolidated basis as well as on an excluding Venezuela basis. First, in terms of volumes, it is important to note that on a consolidated basis, volumes were up 16.4%. And excluding Venezuela, they were even more positive, 21.1%, mostly driven by the increasing volumes in Brazil of the MDP plant that had a shutdown in 2014. Now, in terms of sales in dollars, those increased volumes do not translate in higher sales in volumes, mostly because of a foreign exchange devaluation. When looking at the consolidated figures, it went down. However, important to mention here, the non-recurring forestry sale in Chile of approximately $150 million, which of course affects the comparison year on year. When deducting that, the numbers on excluding Venezuela basis look quite similar. Now, moving into recurring EBITDA, precisely to avoid the effects of that huge transaction that was implemented in the second quarter of 2014, considering recurring EBITDA, on a consolidated basis, it fell by 45.3%. However, that is basically produced by the Venezuela operation and the adjustment and the application of CIMADI instead of CICAD. When excluding Venezuela, in the other graph to the right, recurring EBITDA increased by 26%. And that is from $28.9 million to $36.5 million. So that is a quite impressive increase in operating performance in the context of the slowdown of the economies in Latin America. In terms of net income, the variance is positive, regardless of the look on a consolidated basis, and excluding Venezuela, presents a much better performance. And that is better in part because of a biological asset growth basis, but also because of a better operating results in the operations excluding Venezuela. The following page presents an analysis that we propose to do in the case of our second quarter results, which is also presented in our press release, which was released together with the financial statements. This is actually prepared on a pro forma basis, and it basically is distributing the effect of applying SIMADI instead of SICAD in the first and the second quarter of 2015. Again, I need to note that this is not the procedure according to GAAP, to accounting standards. According to GAAP or the IFRS, we needed to book all of the impact in the second quarter. Now, when distributing on a pro forma basis the effect of the application of SIMADI, the numbers look like the graph presented to this page. In terms of EBITDA, the first quarter EBITDA would have been $37 million when applying SIMADI, and would have been $61 million in the second quarter when applying SIMADI without the correction of the adjustment of the first quarter. Now, to the right, when moving to the recurring EBITDA comparison, on a distributed SIMADI effect basis, the first quarter 2015 would have been $37 million. This is including Venezuela, of course. This is on a consolidated basis. The second quarter EBITDA would have been $38 million. A slight increase, but still, given the context of the economies in Latin America, quite positive performance. Now, how does this second quarter 2015 pro forma number compare to the second quarter 2014? It's a 2.7% growth. Some improvement, but again, in the context of the massive devaluation of the currencies experienced in the last year and the economic slowdown in the region, this is quite positive. I will not refer to the other graphs in the page, but we deliver it to everyone for further analysis. The following page, number 16, presents the opportunity of discussing the non-operating results. Operating results, as already discussed, were better significantly because of better performance in Argentina, Brazil, Mexico, mostly. Stable conditions and stable results in the Andean region, which represents the most important proportion of our EBITDA generation, but was stable. The only negative market where we had operations was Venezuela because of the SIMADI application. Now, in terms of SG&A was down very significantly, in part because of the SIMADI application, but also in part because of the savings after some restructuring programs in Brazil, or management restructuring programs in Brazil, Mexico, and Chile. Now, in terms of the non-operating results, first, on the financial front, there is a positive comparison between the $17 million expense, net expense, compared to the $11.9 million net expense. In the second quarter, the reasoning of the variance here is the second quarter of 2014 was the quarter where we prepaid a number of loans and facilities, which had some prepayment costs. Therefore, the running rate or more normal financial expense level is approximately $11.9 million. In terms of the other income and expense that's booked in our results, it was positive mostly because of the performance of the biological asset growth, in part because of foreign exchange movement, and also in part because of price improvements in Argentina mostly, but also because of improvements in Chile. One negative factor in this context of Latin American currency devaluations is higher foreign exchange losses, and those were $18 million, in great part because of a SIMADI application in Venezuela. Approximately $8 million-$9 million are because of a SIMADI application in Venezuela, and the rest is due to devaluations in the other currencies in Latin America. This negative effect was offset by a significant reduction of monetary correction figures or expense in Venezuela, as the monetary correction in the second quarter was actually positive to compensate for the rest of the year in a number that is equivalent to $12.6 million. That is basically monetary correction, which moves in the opposite direction of what happens in the operating front in Venezuela. It's a result of applying the accounting standards to a hyperinflationary environment in Venezuela. Page number 17 now shows a breakdown of the variances of the EBITDA by market. And in terms of a recurring EBITDA, first in the upper graph, it shows that recurring EBITDA moved from $37 million to $20.2 million in the second quarter of 2015. Now the change, and most dramatically, is coming from Venezuela because of the application of CIMADI, as has been explained extensively throughout this presentation. Now, all of the other markets presented better performance in the second quarter of 2015 than in the second quarter of 2014. Again, we would like to note and highlight this fact because the context in which we're operating is adverse and is more challenging. However, the company has been able to present better performance. The Andean region, reasonably stable. Argentina, Brazil, and Mexico presenting better performance. And this is on a recurring basis. Argentina because of a gradual improvement of the conditions, Brazil in part because of a lower comparative basis, but very importantly, and also the case in Mexico because of the cost and expense saving programs that have been implemented in those markets. When looking at the consolidated EBITDA, including non-recurring transactions, the first two columns present the most important transactions, one in 2014 that represented $143.5 million of EBITDA because of a transaction with Hancock in the forestry side in Chile, and one in 2015, which is a standing timber stampage sale that was completed in April of this year in Chile also. Then the other figures are quite similar to the numbers and figures that were presented in the upper graph, so we'll not share more across on that point. Regarding financial profile of the company in page 18, first on the upper left hand graph, the consolidated debt in terms of gross debt increased by $51 million in the second quarter compared to the prior year. This is the result of something that has been thoroughly communicated, which is when we completed the transaction with Hancock and the refinancing by issuing an international bond, we decided to prepay approximately $100 million of debt. And we've been reborrowing partially that debt as we build the MDF facility in Durango in Mexico. We as such have been increasing the gross debt, and net debt is increasing by more because of a combination of gross debt increase but also the application of CIMADI affecting cash balances in Venezuela. In terms of the debt maturity profile, it represents a reasonably solid and conservative refinancing program. The $90 million in 2015 will be refinanced, or are being refinanced, part in short-term debt. Another part is an ECA, an Export Credit Agency facility that has been closed already, a $35 million facility, 8-year term. And in addition to that, the company has access to approximately $70 million of committed credit lines with different banks that are available for these type of refinancing needs. The cash balances that were in total $54 million included approximately $18.6 million in Argentina and $3.1 million in Venezuela. One important initiative and action that we are taking to offset the trends in the markets and take care of our financial profile is we are prioritizing very strictly and rigorously our capital expenditures. And as such, we are reducing our capital expenditure projections for this year, 2015, from $150 million to $135 million. And capital expenditures for 2016 has been reduced from $103 million to $18 million, affecting recurring maintenance capital expenditures in the industrial front and also some to some extent in the forestry side. So we're reducing our maintenance capex to the very minimum that's needed to maintain the level of operations, and we're keeping the investments that are needed to finalize the NDF mill in Mexico so we can receive the contribution of that plant in the year 2016. Following year capital expenditures are presented here in a more normal levels, but will continue reduced if necessary according to the situation of the markets. Finally, in this page, in the bottom right hand graph, are presented the main financial ratios, interest coverage and the net debt to EBITDA, were affected by the application of CIMALI in the second quarter of 2015, and as such, interest coverage was 4.1 times when our financial covenants require that level to be 3.0 times above in terms of our bank debt, and in terms of our international bond, it has to be 2.5 times and above. In terms of the net debt to EBITDA, the ratio was 3.5 times, and our financial covenants require this ratio not to be in excess of 4.5 times. In the final page, in page number 19, some closing remarks. Start by highlighting our interest to maintain the good performance of the first half of the year. We continue to be implementing all of our cost and expense efficiencies program to achieve the $41 million savings compared to 2014. We expect to consolidate those and even increase them further in 2016. We expect to continue focusing our attention in taking advantage of market opportunities. The export business, especially to North America in terms of MDF moldings and board exports, will continue to be the focus of attention. We are taking a very significant improvement there from our operations in Chile, Argentina, and also Mexico. We expect to ensure the startup of operations of our NDF plant in Mexico, which continues according to plan, is 100% on plan, and to generate in excess of $5 million in additional EBITDA only from that project in Mexico next year. We also are devoting a lot of attention in implementing the asset sale plan to reach the $100 million debt reduction by the close of the first quarter of 2016. And we'll continue our capital expenditure program control to decrease it, to assure the decrease to $50 million maintenance plus $30 million to finalize the NDF plan, reaching a total of $80 million. With all of these measures, we're quite confident we're going to be within the requirements of our financial contracts and financial covenants, and we'll continue to be able to take advantage of market opportunities even in the context that is more adverse than was in prior quarters. This is our presentation. Thank you.
So If you have any questions, please proceed.
All guests have been unmuted. You will now rejoin the meeting.
Hey, good morning. Quick question. How easy it is to get the $19 million from Argentina?
You,
Could you
I'm talking about the cash. You have around close to $90 million in cash in Argentina. How easy it is to expatriate that money, so to speak?
Sure. Thank you for your question. Now I understand it. Sorry for that confusion. Repatriating dividends from Argentina is presently a challenge for everyone. Every foreign investor has a challenge in doing so. Most companies cannot do it. Our experience in Argentina has been more positive than for other companies because of the nature of our business. We are an export business from Argentina. We always export more than 25% of our production from Argentina, and therefore we're generating US dollars. Although those export proceeds need to be converted in the official exchange market, that has generally allowed us to get permission from the authority to distribute dividends at the official exchange rate in the official market. However, I need to point out that this year, 2015, government has not granted such approvals to access the formal exchange market for dividend distribution. And therefore, to a limited extent, we've been accessing the alternative market, which is called Contado Liquidación, to serve all of our needs from Argentina. And we expect that we will continue using that market, but we are continuing our efforts to get approvals from the authority, as we did in every year in the last 10 years in a row, when we look at 2014 and backwards. 2014, 13 and backwards, we always had access to distribute dividends at the official exchange rate. Now, this is uncertain under the current political scenario of elections coming by year end, so we are not expecting to have access to the official exchange rate in the rest of the year, and there may be some devaluation that needs to take place before some access is granted. So we're not sure for future times, but we expect to get back access to the official exchange rate. Now, we cannot predict at this time what that official exchange rate will be when we're granted such access.
Thank you. Hi, it's Phil Kogan from Scotiabank. Maybe just to follow up on the Argentina question, can you confirm, for accounting purposes, are you using the official exchange rate for Argentina, or are you using the blue chip rate or parallel rate?
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for the question. It is important. We're using the official exchange rate in Argentina so far. Whenever the official exchange rate is devalued in Argentina, if that happens in the coming quarters, we're going to need to do the adjustments corresponding to that. One important difference from the reality in Venezuela, when we implemented the SIMADI in Venezuela, because of the hyperinflationary environment, we needed to correct backwards for the rest of the year. In case of Argentina or any other market, given that they are not considered hyperinflationary, the effect of the devaluation is prospective. So it affects future results, not past results.
Okay. And if you were at some point in the future forced to switch to the parallel rate, and maybe you can talk about under what conditions you would have to use the parallel rate, what would be the effect on your compliance with the covenants on net debt and financial expenses? Or in other words, how large is the EBITDA coming from Argentina relative to EBITDA from the rest of the country?
Right. Let me start by saying that according to our understanding, following international accounting standards, we cannot and will not apply a parallel exchange market, which is not an official exchange market, for purposes of our reporting. So to the extent that the parallel is not an official exchange market, we cannot consider it as a potential reporting for exchange. However, we need to look at the circumstances at all times to evaluate what to apply. Now, the second part of the question, if a devaluation happens in Argentina, which I think everybody expects will happen after the change of government over some time, we expect that there's going to be some effect on a going forward basis. First, there's some effect on the balance sheet because the investment in Argentina would get corrected, and that would have an effect in the balance sheet. However, your question is more oriented to the cash flows, and cash flows in Argentina, we're less concerned about a devaluation because of precisely the reasons I mentioned before. Given that we have an export platform in Argentina, and part of our production gets exported even today before the devaluation, typically, one means of adjustment in Argentina whenever there's been significant devaluation in the market has been to increase the level of exports, because Argentina production will become more competitive in the context of the rest of the region and the world. Let's say that a devaluation of 40% occurs, then that's a very significant increase of productivity and competitiveness of the Argentinian production, and therefore we'll be able to increase our export levels from Argentina to other markets, including Brazil and regional markets. And as such, we expect that the effect in EBITDA of a devaluation of such magnitude would be relatively marginal in a full year basis. Let's say approximately 20%, 25% hit, which in the context of Argentina would mean approximately a $10 million reduction of the EBITDA, no more than that. That is our projection for that type of effect.
All right, thank you for that. And maybe just one more general question before I turn the floor over to the other listeners. And this is a more general question. As you pointed out, the results are pretty good, especially in light of the macro circumstance of the region, which is slowing growth. And, you know, I know you gave some kind of individual explanations of a plant shutdown. Maybe there are certain things going on in each of those countries, but in general, you see stability or growth, which is surprising. So what do you expect going forward? Are there reasons to expect sales and volumes to continue to do well, even if Latin America growth continues to be very poor?
We are not so optimistic about the coming quarters in Latin America in general. We expect the volumes to grow marginally in the region, 1 to 2% in the coming quarters, which will, in our case, mean that we will be more or less stable in terms of volumes. That is our expectation. Now, our focus has been very significant in cost and expense reduction, and the reason we're showing better results is not much because of the volume growth, because it has been marginally profitable, but mostly because of the cost and expense reduction program. And this view of future coming quarters not being favorable is what encouraged us basically and pushed us to do the asset to approve the asset sale program, because we perceive that there's going to be a little more pressure in the market. It's going to be pressure in the currency, in the different currencies, and therefore we are not sure we're going to continue showing improving results in the coming quarters, probably more stable results than improving results. That's our projection, and as such we're being sensitive to the financial profile of the company, and we decided we wanted to reduce our debt by $100 million and put this asset sale program. That is what complements everything, so we are confident we're going to be able to meet our financial covenants and continue showing decent returns, decent results in the coming quarters.
All right, thank you very much. Maybe I'll come back with more questions after I give everyone else a chance.
All right, thank you.
Hi, this is Ed Santabecki from Nomura. I just had a question. You mentioned the $70 million in committed credit lines. Can you just give us a breakdown of what regions where those lines are located? Is it all in one country? Is that available? Is that local currency, or is that available to you in dollars?
Give me just a second, please.
Sure.
Second? Okay. All right, sorry about that, boss. Yeah, the committed credit line is $70 million. It's divided in four financial institutions. One is a local bank in Chile, and three are international banks. And those are three-year committed credit lines.
Okay, and that would be available to you in dollars then?
Yes.
Okay, thanks.
Is there any other question?
Quick question is Eduardo Gonzalez from JP. What's your EBITDA in Argentina, your current EBITDA generation?
It's applying the official exchange rate is approximately $60 million a year. In the first semester of this year, Argentina represented approximately 26% of consolidated EBITDA.
That's in consolidated EBITDA included the recurring transactions?
Yeah, and on a recurring basis represented 23%. On a recurring basis.
Hi, it's Joe Kogan again. Maybe one more question about leverage. I see the chart on page 18 with 3.5 times leverage. I imagine that's going to increase over the next quarters as you incorporate more of Venezuela under the Samadhi rate as opposed to quarters under the Zipad rate. Can you say where that's going and also what targets you have as far as where you'd like to reduce that to through asset sales?
Right. An important question, and that's actually something I forgot to mention in the presentation. This figure is expected to deteriorate in the following two quarters a bit because we're going to be substituting Venezuela EBITDA at SICAD from 2014 with Venezuela EBITDA at CIMADI in 2015. This is going to be quite different because those two different foreign exchange systems are very distant from one from each other. So the expectation, and this is going to go up a bit to levels up to level of approximately 4 times by the end of the year, and we expect, and our policy has been defined to be between 3.5 and 4 times. In the year 2016, and then with the support of the proceeds and the VTA from the plant in Mexico, that will be improving down to 3.5 in average terms. So it's going to deteriorate a bit because of a simplistic substitution of the VTA from Venezuela the rest of the year. We are expecting to, with the asset sale program, to keep it below 4. During the whole year 2016, and then it's going to start improving because of the visa growth from Mexico. Medium term target being between 3.5 and 3.0.
Okay.
All right. I would like to thank everyone for your interest and participation. And my only final statement would be that we've been very proactive in ascertaining the outlook in the region. By mid last year, we started a very aggressive cost and expense reduction program, which is what is enabling the company to present better results in the first semester of this year. Now we're supplementing that with an asset sale program that is going to maintain the profile and improve it a bit from the current levels, despite the change that we implemented in Venezuela, which was needed according to our conclusions. And therefore, we're going to continue to be very actively pursuing those goals, and we're going to be conscious and very disciplined in the capital expenditure program, as presented before, to maintain the profile, the financial profile of the company, and also at least maintain or improve our operating results and bottom line results. So I'd like to thank everyone for your attention and desire you a very good day. Thank you very much.